This is Signal 337, the podcast for the innately curious and creative.
Hey friends, this is Tim McKenna, and this is another episode of Signal 337. In this episode, I want to talk about a highly contentious, overused buzzword that I don't know if I'm going to be able to add any more to the conversation, but I definitely think that I can help create some clarity, especially around designers. And that word is agile. It is the word that people love to hate. It is the word that brings up a lot of strong feelings inside the technology industry, and a lot of people have different viewpoints about it. And here I am going to add my own spin on everything. Now, if you've worked at a company that does any sort of product design, product development, software development, you've probably heard of Agile. And if you don't work in software or digital products or services, maybe you are familiar with Agile more in the industrial engineering kind of complex of things, of creating early prototypes to create more value and understand like how we can build this thing to better suit our customers' needs. I'm going to be squarely focusing on the digital side of things from a software development and engineering perspective, but I'm also going to talk about the focus that designers have within an agile organization. I'm going to talk a little bit about where I've seen it done well and where I've seen it not done well, and also give some really super big nerdy analogies from the Star Trek franchise to talk about how we can center ourselves around an agile organization that includes design. Strap in for an interesting episode. Let's begin. So I'm not going to go through all the history of agile. It is a Wikipedia article click away if you so choose. The Crib Notes version is that a bunch of engineers over a span of time got together, probably over beers as I understand the story, and created a manifesto around this is how we should work. And the Crib Notes version of all of that is basically people over process, really focusing on delivering value and having outcomes-based work instead of process-based work. That doesn't mean that we throw all process out the window. There's sometimes a process that is really good, but we're not slaves to process. We are not slaves to the calendar or the logical schema for everything. You can absolutely take shortcuts, you can take breaks, you can iterate, you can pivot. The idea is that you do what you need to do to create that value that is going to be positive for your customer. That is a very simplistic view of how Agile was started. But really, that is the way that we really should be thinking about things if we can explain it like we're five-year-olds. So we take an idea of we're going to build X, whatever X is, but we need to do it in a way so that not only will our customers at that moment be able to find value in it, but as our customers mature and evolve and grow over time, they're going to want to come back to our product X and be like, hey, I had such great, you know, use for this product. What else is next? Because people grow and change over time. And if you've listened to my episode about calling people and not users, that is a big crux of Agile, is to continuously provide value to people. Organizations that do this well have the understanding and the mindset and the environment to focus on the people that are doing the work. They will have team leads. They will have different rituals. They will have different tools to enable and foster communication and collaboration and iteration. And they will invest heavily into those infrastructures so that agile development and engineering can happen. Organizations that are a little bit more stodgy, that use more of a waterfall mentality of you must get all of everything in column A done before you move to column B, before you move to column C, you have a more hierarchical, more concrete transition phase gate approach to how you do your work. And unfortunately, that type of approach does move at the speed of smell. Like, it is slow. It is monolithic. And Agile was a rebellion against that, because for a long time, software releases would take anywhere between 12 months, 18 months, 2 years to get out there, because it had to go through so much process to actually get reviewed, gone through QA, get tested, get released. The idea that Agile is, let's do more frequent, smaller updates, smaller deliveries, so that we can continue to provide value to our customers. And that evolution of the thinking, meeting the customer as they evolve over time, that is the real power that Agile has. And for all intents and purposes, I really love the manifesto around Agile. I really love the idea around putting people first and creating value and delivering that value frequently and being able to learn from various sources, whether it is usability testing, market analysis, sentiment scores, sentiment surveys. Like, all of these different inputs all help to shape how the product or service will be iterated upon, so that you can continue to value and provide that to your customers. And this is where a lot of organizations don't understand Agile, is that a small stream of value being created over time is a lot more powerful than one giant release. And companies that really get this understand the power of that evolution. Now, not every corporate overlord is waterfall driven in this regard, but a lot of them are. And you will see them when you hear about companies going through a digital transformation. That was another buzzword for a while. I believe it still is in some circles. A lot of organizations, a lot of industries were going through digital transformations, which was a funny way of saying, oh, hey, we got to change the way that we work because nobody fucking likes us. And we're really slow, and competitors are starting to come in and chip away at our business. That was the case for finance for a long time. They were earlier adopters of technology once it proved to be safe and they could make more money with it. But then other industries really started getting into it as well. Healthcare was an industry that for years and years, and in some cases, in some locations, you still have doctors that are using paper records. Now, the vast majority have moved over to electronic health records and electronic medical records. However, that was an organization that really tried to hold out against a digital transformation because there was a lot of concern around privacy, there was a lot of concern around complexity, as well as you had the social factor that physicians weren't technologists and they did not like using these different products and services. I worked in the student loan finance world for a while, and the company that I worked for, everybody else in that space, had a really bad brand reputation and was not well liked by the public and had a lot of negativity associated with them. And as they were going through their digital transformation a little bit later in the game, they were trying to stay competitive and trying to show a different side of how they are basically growing as a business. Ultimately, it was a farce because they had no intentions for change. And this is not unique. A lot of organizations do go through this a lot, is that they claim they want to start adapting and adopting Agile principles into their business if they are creating a digital product or service. But it's more than just like taking cubicles away and putting together a war room and having people sit at a desk or a large table together. It's a lot more than that. An organization really has to invest in a infrastructure to do that. It has to invest in an environment, and it's a cultural shift as well. Where I worked at was a failure in that regard. But the learnings that I got about how to do this work correctly and how to allow and enable and empower individuals to do the work that they need to make that value for the customer a reality was invaluable. Here is the idea around design in Agile. Too often, designers are held in a weird limbo state of they either have to create visual aesthetics for what's being built by engineering, so a very engineering technology-led organization, or they are brought in to really be supplanting the development team. So they might have some UI design chops, but they're also helping to build some of the front end. So again, more of a technology-led type of mentality, but they're being utilized in two different ways. And unfortunately, too many designers feel like they need to have front-end development capabilities and skills. While that's not absolutely true, I think it's helpful. Too often is that these organizations then mold these designers into being more front-end devs. Whereas the organizations that view designers more as an aesthetic quality, they are just doing fancy visual work in a program. And they have no power, either of these groups have no power to help shape the product because they aren't enabled to do research, they aren't enabled to iterate and create prototypes, and a lot of organizations fail in this regard. That's not to be a dig at engineering organizations, it's to point out that engineering organizations, the ones that have successful products, understand the value that design brings to the table. Now, organizations I worked at that does this really well. Design and engineering are partners. They work together. And they work with other disciplines to get more information. So you might bring in customer service. You might bring in marketing. And this cross-collaborative group of professionals are starting to think about, well, how do we create the best experience? And they may draw upon research and data to inform them about how they can create something that has value. So here is where my Star Trek analogy comes into play. If you have never watched Star Trek, I really pity you because it's one of the most amazing shows ever, and I'll fight you, anyone, on that point. But let's break it down to its most basic. Star Trek is a show where a group of people, typically on a starship, sometimes on a space station, are working together and they have a problem. And they usually have to solve the problem, save the day through some sort of experimental thinking about how do we do XYZ. That's the general gist of most episodes of Star Trek. So let's break it down even further. Let's take the starship itself. The starship is your gleaming, opulent office in space. It's your organization you work for. And that organization is filled with people, just like a starship is filled with people. The people that work in your organization, the people that are on the starship, all have different disciplines. So in your organization, you might have engineering and development staff, you might have marketing, human resources, customer service, data and analytics folks, you'll have designers. And on the starship, you're going to have engineers as well, you're going to have security, you're going to have medical, you're going to have all these different disciplines, all these specialized folks. But here's where it gets really interesting, is that whatever the problem of the day with Star Trek, there's some sort of obstacle, there's some sort of issue that they have to solve or overcome. Typically what happens in an episode is that team that you always see in the cast of the show, they come together and they try to think about the problem. And they come up with ideas, and they prototype solutions in the holodeck, and they discuss a lot of different avenues. And that, in and of itself, is like a design sprint in a lot of respects. Or if not a design sprint, it is a design exercise, where they're thinking about what they can do so that when they actually implement it, they have the highest rate of success. That is thinking. That is design right there. And often in the shows, they will have a prototype or a simulation that they'll go to the holodeck and try to validate or invalidate, and they'll go back and forth. And as I have been watching Star Trek for decades at this point, it is a great analogy and a great example of agile inclusion of designers in thinking about how to solve a problem. Because unlike the real world, in this case, in Star Trek, if they don't solve the problem, they usually have to die because drama, and it's a life or death situation. So they have to move quickly, they have to iterate, they have to collaborate, they have to have communication, and some of the best drama of the show is about them not communicating. But let's take it back to the real world. You have your engineers, you have your designers, you have leadership, you have market research, you have customer service. You might have all of these different disciplines in a room, and you have an agenda, you have a goal. How do we create the best experience for our customers to do X? Thankfully, hopefully, in some cases, most cases, the X experience is not going to be life or death, but some of you may have that in your work. But having that cross-collaboration before it's actually built out is a great analogy for how organizations can work with designers and how it can integrate design in their agile development process. Thinking about those analogies of Star Trek, where everyone's thinking and working on the solution, crunching the numbers, validating or invalidating ideas, that's the design process right there. And by doing that work ahead of actually doing the work, you can then integrate your design teams to be more effective because the outcomes are going to be different. Designers are going to be working on more cerebral type of problems that's going to inform your engineering staff of how to develop systems and applications and APIs or whatever. Their outcomes are going to be different. It's going to be more code that is going to enable these interactions and these iterations to happen. So the outcomes are going to be different. And this is where I see another issue with organizations that don't integrate design with development very well, is that they will pair designers and developers together, but they will hold the designers at a different level of expectations because they don't understand the work that designers do and the outcomes of that work. It's pretty easy to see what a developer creates because you can go into their Git repository and see the code that they've written and be like, yeah, it runs. It does this stuff. There you go. Outcomes. Good. But when you see a bunch of visual designs, you're like, oh, wait, what am I seeing here? This doesn't work. A lot of times, then, people don't understand what the designer is actually doing. The designer is creating the understanding, the logic, the understanding of how the experience is supposed to go, so that the developer can create the code behind the scenes that's going to enable that. And too often, you will get the thousand-yard stare from folks who don't understand design. They will start to nitpick at things that have no value or no impact on the project, but they start to look at it because they don't know how to really talk about the design work. Such as, well, I don't like this blue. That's off-brand here. Make the logo bigger. Shouldn't we have two modals instead of one? What if we did this? And that becomes a cycle that is completely antithesis to creating value. That becomes very subjective. So it's important that designers do advocate and bring people into the conversation so they understand what the design process is all about and what's created of it, so that it's a shared consensus that comes out. But that is another pitfall that I see that organizations have when they integrate design and development into their agile process. Now, agile development process, agile principles, there are many ways to do this type of work. There's no one way that I think is superior. You could be using rituals around Scrum. You could be using Kanban boards. You could use whatever tools or tactics that you want, having a Scrum meeting, a stand-up meeting every day, regardless. But the idea is that it should be people over process, valuing outcomes instead of following the rules. And that's not to say that you should break all the rules, but you should have the freedom and the ability and the psychological safety that as your work as a designer is informing something that can be a big shift in the product, you need to be able to have that safety to bring that up and be able to have that discussion so that we can meet that value. Because at the end of the day, if you are not creating value for the customer, you're not working in Agile. So with all of that, is there anything that I really added to this conversation? I think that if you take the Star Trek analogy and do it another way, I think this will also help. Take everything that I said about the ship being the organization, the people being your colleagues, and the problem solving being your design exercise, but also think of it this way. They also have little shuttle pods and little runabout ships, little tiny ships that are in the big organization, that are in the starship. They fly out and they do some exploration. They do the initial data gathering, and that data that they collect comes back to the ship and also helps to inform how they should be doing whatever it is that they need to do, whatever science-y thing they need to do to solve the problem and save the day. If you want to look at it that way, design is that shuttle pod helping to guide the starship along to its route. Now, organizations that are doing this well will have psychological safety. They will have the infrastructure, and they will talk about people and value over blind adherence to process. There will be process. There is no escaping process, but that process is going to be set up so that it enables you to do your work versus being the straddling thing that keeps your work down. So with all of that, hopefully there's been some conversation around how you think you can introduce some of these mentalities into maybe your organization, or maybe identify where your organization can grow and be more focused around the value for your customers. If anything, then I just add to the long list of articles, podcasts, and thoughts on the internet about my thinking about Agile. So with all of that, I really want to thank you so much for taking part of this episode. Let's have a conversation on Twitter and LinkedIn. You can always hit me up on Twitter at Azrael Group, A-Z-R-A-E-L Group. And you can always hit me up on LinkedIn. And I always appreciate you listening to all these different episodes. I always say, everything that I say is from my perspective and from my viewpoint, and it's not indicative of any past or current employers. So please feel free to always reach out to me and take a look for upcoming episodes. So thanks a lot.